Ramsey TV.
Now, I don't plan on singing any more Christmas carols today. Well, I mean, if the popular demand is there, yeah, I would definitely sing more Christmas carols. Yep, somebody told me not to quit my day job. Well, I do try. I mean, it's just a pure joy that comes out of me, you know, for the beautiful Christmas season. Again, as long as you keep Christ the hell out of Christmas. Welcome to Ramsey TV. This is Martin Zender. And today I'm going to contrast Peter's release from prison in Acts chapter 12 with Paul's release from prison in Acts chapter 16. There are so many subtle differences between the Gospels of the circumcision and uncircumcision, and God puts them in the Scriptures, and he winks at us and says, you get it? You get it? You get it? I mean, there are many obvious differences. One is with Israel, the Gospel of law, the Gospel to the circumcision, it's about law. With Paul's Gospel, it's about grace. Also, Israel's Gospel, it's about forgiveness of sins, a pardon that can be revoked if you don't keep the qualifications of the pardon going. Paul, on the other hand, justification. Your sins aren't even reckoned to you. Most people can't even grab onto that fact. Christians who talk about justification, they have no idea what it means. They think it's the same as pardon. So they just don't get it. A terrestrial destiny for Israel, a celestial destiny for body of Christ saints, most of whom are called from among the nations, called and called by God using Paul's gospel, which was inspired by Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. Oh, now we're getting to the subtle, very subtle differences that unless you're paying attention, you won't notice. I'm happy to bring these to you. Paul exclusively uses the name Christ Jesus, putting his exalted name before his name of humiliation, whereas the circumcision, without fail, never use Christ Jesus. They always use Jesus Christ, putting his earthly humiliating name first and his title, that is what he does later, the anointed one. So this is not an insignificant difference. Also, I did a series, part one and part two, a couple weeks ago, about the disruption of the world. Israel is known from the disruption of the world, the body of Christ, before the disruption of the world. The disruption of the world being the entrance of sin into the universe, Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2. And having to do with the body of Christ being called before there's even sin in the world, we being delivered from sin via justification, via God declaring us righteous, not having to worry about sin, Israel called from the disruption of the world. This is why Israel's always dealing with sin. This is why your friends are always worried about their sins. And they think that their sins can still keep them from God because they were, you know, called from the disruption of the world. I brought all of this beautiful stuff up in those two parts, two shows. You can look those up. MZTV, Disruption of the World, a little known truth there. That's one of the subtle differences. Another subtle difference, which you learned on Sunday, if you watched the Martin Zender Rodney Paris special called No Longer I, James has a real problem in the book of James with anybody saying that they're going to go to this town and they're going to go to this other town. And why are they being so boastful? Why are they boasting in themselves? Shouldn't they say we will go to that town if the Lord is willing? Yet Paul, on the other hand, says, I'm going to Spain. Then I'm going to take the offering to Jerusalem. I think I'm going to go visit Timothy. Then I think he never says if the Lord is willing, because he assumes via the truth of our identification with Christ that it's no longer Christ over here and Paul over here. It's the Spirit of Christ in Paul. Where he goes, Christ is. And there's not this duality of thinking, oh, am I in the will of God or am I not in the will of God? The body of Christ believer believes that all is the will of God. And that there can't be a misstep made, absolutely speaking. The circumcision believer can't see it this way, because with the circumcision, it's still, as I said, from the disruption of the world based on sin, based on an analysis of your walk, because the key element of that gospel is law. And so it's a not, let me put it this way, it's kind of a negative way to put it. Circumcision gospel is a not very spiritually advanced gospel. In a sense, in a way, it's a more simple gospel because it's an if-then proposition. A lot of it depends on your behavior. There is some grace involved in it, yes, but it's a limited amount of grace. It's a combination of grace and works. Whereas in Paul's gospel, you keep works the hell out of it, as far away from possible. Read Galatians chapter 1. Paul went ballistic when anyone tried to mix elements of the law with grace. With Paul, we have the transcendent grace of God. So that's a beautiful, subtle difference there. So now we're going to look at the two releases from prison of Peter and Paul. Some profound differences there. But unless somebody points them out to you, you don't know. Somebody pointed them out to me 30 years ago. And the more I see it, the more I look at it, other stuff just comes out. It's like, this is all over the place with these two gospels. And apparently there's a couple guys making a video somewhere. It says, Martin Zender's so wrong about the two gospels. I didn't even watch it. I don't care. Go ahead. Do whatever you want. You'll be sorry. You'll be sorry, you people. Yeah, but anyway, it's not my business. I live rent-free in your head, though. I do live rent-free in your head, so that makes me happy. Peter's release from prison in Acts 12 is a demonstration of the stern righteousness of the kingdom of God, whereas Paul, with his companion Silas in Acts chapter 16, is a demonstration of the grace of God. And many particulars in these two accounts show us the difference between the call of Israel and the call of the nations. So Peter was sleeping. I don't know how you can sleep when, well, I like this though. Good for Peter. Peter's in jail thinking he's going to be executed publicly during one of the feasts. It was nasty Herod, nasty, bad Herod, bad Herod. Anyway, I like the fact that Peter's sleeping. So cool about it. He's sleeping. When the angel comes in, read the account, Acts chapter 12. I'm not going to read it. You probably know it. Angel comes in and says, psst, psst, Peter, get up. Okay, follow me. We're getting out of here. Quick. Paul and Silas, on the other hand, they have been in Philippi, just to set the stage there a little bit. There was a maid with a python spirit following Paul and Silas around Philippi. This is amazing, saying these men are servants of the Most High God, bringing you message of Aeonian life. Oh, God. I love that because even the demon inside this maid knew who Paul and Silas were. So this went on for several days. Paul and Silas tolerated it. But part of you wants to say, why stop this announcement? It's true. What the demon said was true. But it was a dubious source, and Paul got sick of it, and he cast the python spirit. A python spirit is a ventriloquist spirit. Like it speaks through somebody and the person's not moving their lips. Yeah, scary stuff. Paul had enough. Cast the python spirit out. Apparently there were some dudes in Philippi making money off this lady. Their source of income was done away with. So they got up a mob against Paul and Silas, brought them to the judges. They were beaten with rods, which I assume hurts, and they put them in the inner jail. That's how Paul and Silas ended up in jail. They weren't sleeping. What were they doing? Singing hymns to God. After they got over the shock of being beaten, they're singing praises to God. The analogy I see here is that our gospel today is the active gospel, and we are singing and praising God, whereas Israel is temporarily set aside. They can still privately believe in their kingdom, in the coming of their kingdom. They have to be patient. They have to be like the heroes of faith who will probably die having not received the promises. Well, maybe not those today, but those in Paul's day, they were going to die without having received the promises. That is the Hebrews in Paul's day, to whom he writes in the book addressed to the Hebrews. So Peter's asleep. Paul and Silas are gladly awake, singing hymns to God. Pretty impressive, actually. Peter was released by stealth. Angel came in. Psst, psst, Peter, get up. Quick, come on. Follow me. Follow me. The guards were asleep. They didn't even know what was happening. Paul, on the other hand, Paul and Silas, they made no attempt to escape. There was an earthquake. Yeah, in the middle of the night, at midnight, when Paul and Silas, having been beaten with rods, their backs injured, singing praises to God, which is impressive. Suddenly there was an earthquake, and they were in the inner jail. I guess that's worse than being in the outer jail. Yeah, their feet were in stocks. Just a nasty situation. Not exactly the Holiday Inn. More like a Super 8 or a Motel 6. Especially the one I stayed in Cleveland. I think that's more like it, yeah. They made no attempt to escape. The earthquake loosed the bonds of all the prisoners. Paul and Silas weren't the only ones in there. This is important to note, too. There were other prisoners locked up with Paul and Silas, and they heard the whole thing, man. Paul and Silas weren't about to leave. They had more business to do. They're not going out by stealth. Again, our gospel is a gospel of grace, is a gospel of sharing it with all the nations. Israel's gospel is tightly centered on Israelites. Jesus himself, Matthew 15:24, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then later, he sends the disciples out, and he says, do not even go to a road of the nations. Don't even go to your near relatives, the Samaritans. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. A very insular, very esoteric message. Paul and Silas, that's why Peter sneaks away. Gotta go tell my friends. He goes to somebody's house where there are people praying for him. A maid named Rhoda answers the door. Read this. It's hilarious, actually. Peter's knocking on the door. There's a woman on the other side of the door at this safe house, and her name's Rhoda. Scripture takes pains to say. Rhoda says, who is it? It's Peter. Open the door. So surprised, she doesn't open the door because she's shocked. She runs out and tells everybody, Peter's at the door. Peter's at the door. They say, that's impossible. It must be a messenger or something. That is, a celestial being. No, it's Peter. So they're having a discussion. In the meantime, Peter's out there. Open the goddamn door. I probably didn't say that, but they came in and answered the door. It's me, Dave. Cheech and Chong routine. Who? Dave, man, open the door. I think the cops saw me. Dave? Yeah, man. Dave, open the goddamn door. Dave's not here. You remember that one? Sorry I wasted your time there if you don't remember the Cheech and Chong routine. So they finally open the door. Peter comes in. It's insular. Paul, on the other hand, they stay there. Because they're digging it. All the other prisoners are watching what's happening. The jailer in Philippi was ready to slice his head off. He had thrust himself with a sword. He took out a sword to kill himself because he was responsible for all these prisoners. Rome don't like it when you let prisoners go. Rome don't like it. They don't like when you're careless and let prisoners escape. So he got guys ready to kill himself with good reason, because if you look at Peter's guards, they all died. This is another great comparison. Going to get to that in a second. So all the other people in the jail, all the other dudes in the jail, I assume there are no dudettes in that jail. Don't know that for sure, but that would be pretty bad. They're hearing this. They're watching the jailer getting ready to off himself. Paul says, don't harm yourself. We're all here. Don't worry about it. And everybody was in on it, man. All these other prisoners are like, yeah, let's go with this. We're not going to escape either. This Paul guy, he's really putting on a show here. So they saw the jailer get down on his knees. It's like, come into my house. He doesn't yet ask them what he must do to be being saved. But Paul says, we're all here. Don't worry. Don't kill yourself. Just bring us in your house. Give us something to eat. And the guy was more than happy to do it. Took him in his house, bathed their wounds, put on some first aid, Johnson & Johnson product. I don't know. They're going, ah, oh, ah, yeah, right there, right there, right there. Oh, oh, yeah. Then he says, gentlemen, what must I be doing to be being saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be being saved. That is, you'll be coming into an awareness of the salvation that Christ already won for you 2,000 years ago on the cross. In the meantime, the whole jailer's family gets up. Hey, what's going on out here? And Paul and Silas lay out the gospel, and the guy hears it, and his whole family hears it, and everybody's saved. Peter, on the other hand, what happened to his guards? This is extremely significant. Please pay close attention. Peter's guards are killed. This is in line with the stern righteousness of the kingdom, right? You live or die. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Those who don't will be wiped out, not enter the kingdom. It's tough. So Peter's jailers are killed. Remember, Herod finds out what Peter got loose, has the jailers killed, even though they were completely innocent. They were put into a supernatural slumber. An angel took out Peter by stealth, and there you have it. Not so in Philippi. So different. Peter's guards are killed. Paul's guards and his whole family are saved. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, I am convinced that the Christian scenario of left behind, where there's going to be millions and billions of Christians rising up to meet the Lord in the air, and cars are going to be crashing, buses are going to be turning over, airplanes are going to nosedive into the ground because all the pilots are believers, don't you know? Yeah, all the pilots believe in the death of Christ. They don't believe in the Trinity. All the pilots believe that they were actually saved by Jesus Christ, not by their own free will. Yeah, right. So the world is in a tumult and chaos after the snatching away of the saints. That is absolutely not true. Never in Paul's gospel was the announcement of his truth followed by a wake of disaster or a wake of death. No, it always led to salvation. Everywhere Paul went, people were saved, 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 saved. I mean, he even cast the python spirit out of that maid in Philippi. She wasn't killed. They weren't mad at her. They were mad at them, the magistrates in Philippi. So there is no way that the Christian scenario is correct. And I disagree with the Concordant Publishing Concern on this. I disagree with A.E. Nock. I disagree with Adelaide Loudy. Adelaide Loudy wrote a book called God's Aeonian Purpose. He has this cartoonish description of the so-called rapture snatching away. And he himself agrees with the Christian prospect of there's millions of believers in this world. Hell no, there are not millions of believers in this world. Probably 1,000, maybe 5,000 believers, members of the body of Christ who believe the truth and thus reject the lies, the mainstream lies, free will, eternal torment, the Trinity. Not many people. Nobody's going to know when we're snatched away. There's no, the whole world. My friend Charlie Kronk told me, he says 5,000 people a day come up missing in the United States alone. Do you know anything about them? No. So if there's only 1,000 members of the body of Christ alive when Jesus Christ returns and they're snatched away, do you think anybody's going to know about it? No. So there's not going to be a ripple on the earth, no cars crashing, no planes falling out of the sky, nothing of that kind. It's going to be in accord with Paul's escape. And we're escaping, folks. Sorry to those who think that we're just a bunch of escapists. You people are just a bunch of escapists. You just want to get out of here. No shit. Yeah, we do want to get out of here, and we are going to escape. God's going to extricate us from the current wicked eon. Galatians 1:4, extricate us. It is in accord with Paul's escape from prison. In the meantime, we're blessing all the people that we can. We're very open. We're singing hymns and Christmas carols. Here comes Santa Claus, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, whatever you like. We're not going anywhere by stealth. We're not an evangel in waiting. We're the active evangel on the front burner, announcing it to everyone. People who hear us are saved. Nobody's killed. The circumcision gospel, on the other hand, is still a do this or else proposition. Only those who endure to the end shall be saved. Read the whole book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. So the contrasts through the entire scripture, well, through the Greek scriptures of Paul's gospel and Peter's gospel couldn't be more pronounced. There are major black and white differences, which I announced at the beginning of the show. And there are dozens of these little subtle differences that if you look carefully, you'll see it. You will see it. And it just opens up the truth even more for those with eyes to see.